Hello, hello, this is Shaggy Spilkus, and speaking for my partner, Saul Goiter, Heeb Zappasteen, and Kite Cohen, at the new Sex Mod 2010, your big box superstore, now located on John Thomas Boulevard in scenic Secaucus, New Jersey. We are proud to introduce the all-new Glam Rock Wang replica series that includes the Gary Glitter Teeny Weeny Vibro Peeny. This Vienna sausage is guaranteed to slip into the tightest young Indonesian cold shoe, and grab yourself the all-new Naughty Holder Scotch Boy Thunderstick. That farting tart and represents with his delightful dancing joystick that comes adorned with top hat and plaid tails and ejaculates a glittery viscous jam. And if those UK has-beens can't please your corn-fed deep-welled American trollop, the Tescuri 18-inch veiny bulger will do the trick. Your sea hag will scream in delight as she takes this roaring Peterbilt up her turnpike tunnel. Comes with built-in DeWalt hammer drill, pulsating three-ball jitsack, and Apple's new peeny pod that holds 1,000 of your favorite MP3s. Enjoy all the greats like Jerry Vale, Edie Gourmet, and the Tijuana Brass while pounding that cavernous vulva. Check out our all-new extremely lifelike, flesh-to-touch Android robotic sex slaves. Made to order in the Heidi Klum, Joy Behar, now that's a grandmother I'd like to fuck, and Bam Streisand models in bust size up to triple J, with features like heated gash, lactating nipples, and buzzing Angelina Jolie-like liver lip DSLs. Just place the handy golden brown pellets in these fantastic rubber fucks for lifelike golden showers and fragrance-filled Cleveland steamers. They even talk nasty to you in every language on earth, like chink, spick, mick, dago, and negro. Our 50,000 square foot love palace is everything to lubricate your bad thing. From banana gojo to the choice of real men 90 weight gay lube. For every tuba lube you buy, you get a free jar of Larry King brand gefilte fish. That's right, folks. Sex Mod 2010 is located between Knife World and the Odd Fellows Temple, right in the heart of Secaucus. You want to come? Then you better come. And if I can't make you come, then my name is Shaggy Spilkus.
City authorities in your area have reported that the bodies of the dead are rising from their graves and attacking the living.
You're listening to Books, Beer, and Bullshit, the socially horriest media podcast in the world. I'm your host, Frank.
And I'm your pal, Jeff.
My pal, Jeff. How are you?
I am scrum-diddly-umptious.
You know, I wish I could tell you that I'm the same, but I'm just getting over a cold here. So you're going to be in for a ride, sir.
Bring it on.
I am hopped up on like a giant Red Bull, and I got a freaking cup of tea. Yeah, I'm going to be a little giddy today.
And you ain't taking shit from nobody.
Yeah. Oh, man, we got a really freaking cool episode for you folks this week.
I am totally stoked.
Yeah, we have an honest-to-goodness person that writes for a living.
A real live published author.
A scribe. We are going to review this week Armand Rosamilia and his zombie book, Dying Days.
This book had a lot more interplay with the survivors of the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
Rather than just body count of piled up zombies.
Right.
It more developed the surviving characters were more developed and more interplay between the zombie survivors.
Than the survivors and the zombies.
Right. And the danger of dealing with other survivors.
Right. In a way, this was more, it wasn't about like man versus zombie. This is more a story of man versus man.
Man versus man versus zombie.
Right. There were a couple of scenes where they took care of the zombies, but the brunt of this was like human interaction.
Yeah, it was something different from the zombie genre, which was a nice change of pace.
Yeah, it was excellent. It was excellently written.
All right, this book takes place in Florida. Wouldn't think that would be the normal, typical place to as a setting.
Yeah, that's
it seemed kind of strange to me.
The first time I can think anything
Florida-wise. So maybe that was cool, too. Maybe that made a difference.
Yeah, it was a different locale, too.
It wasn't like up in the city, urban combat type thing.
Nor out on like a farm or anything like that.
And it was a short book.
Right.
Like a novella. Would you call it a novella?
I would absolutely call it novella length.
It's part of a series that he's putting together.
Yes,
it seems to be. And without really further ado, why don't we
ask
the man himself.
We'll keep our explanation quick, and let's talk to Armand Rosamilia. Welcome to Books, Beer, and Bullshit, then. Armand Rosamilia. Armand, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. I got to tell you, You got Jeff and Frank here, and we were both in a place with zombie fiction where we were just tired of it.
Extremely tired of it.
And it was like, I get it. They're coming. They're going to die. And everybody's got it. It just got very redundant. And as a matter of fact, in our last episode, Jeff had said, you know, I just read this book and I'm just sick of this shit. And I go, well, I got bad news for you. Because we're going to be reviewing another zombie book. And actually, it turns out we both freaking love Dying Days.
Yeah, we did.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it was excellent. It was different, and you've restored our faith in the genre.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely have to read more zombies now, damn it.
I hope so. I hope so. I was getting to that point, too, where it was just the same story over and over, and it just starts, you know, it's with anything. And then something gets popular, and, you know, you read the same story over and over, and it starts to get annoying. I'm just hopefully had something a little bit different that, you know, people like and people are responding to it, which is cool with me.
Yeah, absolutely. What I kind of dug too is that the lead is a female character, and that's definitely something you don't always get in the genre. And you did it well. How do you pull that off?
Well, I didn't want the typical zombie book where, I mean, I was never in the military, and I had read like 5 or 6 zombie stories in a row, and every one of them was like the military crack squad, you know, running in, and you describe all the different, you know, everything down to their freaking food that they were eating, and every weapon and every bullet and shot, whatever the hell it is, on and on and on. Or you read the other side, you read it was a cop. And once I read the Joe McKinney zombie stuff, there's nothing better than Joe McKinney's cop zombie world. So right there, everything else to me got boring. I didn't want that typical story. I didn't want, you know, the survivors stuck in a building and, you know, the zombies are attacking and one of them was a nurse and one of them was military and one of them was this, like a freaking zombie sitcom. And I just thought of, you know, what's a cool lead that, you know, I had never at that point really written a female character. And she was actually just started, she was just thrown in as a flash piece, just as something different, a 500 words for an anthology, and I never thought anything of her again. And when I wrote my Highway to Hell extreme zombie novella, Comet Press had an open call for novellas. So I just said, let me write a 25,000 word story. I wrote it with a guy character, and they didn't accept it. So when I said, I'll put this out myself. So when I reworked it, put it out myself, I thought, now let me write a short story to add that's in the same world as Highway to Hell. And when I started writing it, it just automatically became a female character because I thought that would be cool. And as I started writing, I was like, wait a minute, this is the same character that I wrote that flash piece a few months ago. So I just, I'll write one more story with her and became, you know, Darlene Bobich, and it ended up, it's, you know, we're 3 books later and, you know, another couple to go or at least another one to go, and I just don't get tired of the character.
Yeah, the character is really solid and totally believable, and I hate to say it, but for a male to write that good a female character, I was pretty impressed.
Well, I had a couple of pretty good readers along the way, that a couple of female readers that read some the original versions of Dying Days and really helped me with the character. I never wanted her to be this super character. I never wanted her to be like, you watch those freaking horrible, you know, Resident Evil and, you know, chicks in leather pants running around super hot, killing everything and, you know, saying the one-liners and all that crap. I wanted her to be a normal, you know, I mean, she's a slightly chunky 28-year-old who, you know, worked at the makeup counter in the mall and then the world went to shit. That's the whole basic. I mean, she cries, she has panic attacks, you know, she's normal. She's like a normal person. So for me, that was the easy part. Was sometimes I would start writing a scene and I would be like, yeah, let me tone this down. You know, I don't think she needs to do backflips and shit like that let me kill the zombies cool. You know, I'd rather she was crying in a corner and manage to fight the damn thing off at the end. That's more realistic to me.
Absolutely. I have a question. When you were researching your zombies, being you're in Florida, did you like go to Boca to like the Waffle House between like, say, like 2:30 and 4:30?
Listen, as you guys, I'm a Jersey boy. I grew up in Jersey. I came down here in 2001, and what a friggin' difference. Yeah. I've been down here like almost 12 years, and it's just so different. I mean, it's nice. It's calm. I mean, you know, you can lay around by the pool all day and relax and chicks on the beach and blah, blah, blah. But, man, some of these people drive you nuts down here.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know? And the food isn't nearly as good. I really miss that food. My parents are actually up in Jersey now with my youngest, and she moved down here. She was like 4 or 5 months old when she came down, so she doesn't remember Jersey. And, you know, I said to her, did you go to the diner? You know, did you go to a real diner? Because there's no real, actually, you know, a diner down here to Floridians is Denny's. That's a diner.
Oh, God.
Have you guys gone to the diner? And she's like, yeah, oh, my God, it was, like, so cool. It was, like, the coolest thing. And I'm like, did you get a pork roll, egg, and cheese sandwich? And she's like, I got a hamburger, but I got a pork roll sandwich on the side. I'm like, perfect, perfect, you know. Teaching her all the things. You know, this part of your heritage. That's in your blood, honey. You know, you got to have a pork roll, egg, and cheese sandwich when you get up there, you know.
You do indeed, and a slice of pizza.
Oh, thank God, yeah.
Well, speaking about the old walking around like they're dead down there, even though your story doesn't really center around the zombies, they were there, and they were very cool. And they had a very unique take to them because they walked around bloody erections. Where the hell did that come from?
Well, I gotta thank Comet Press for, you know, the call out was for an extreme zombie story. And they really didn't explain it. Just, you know, go extreme. Go nutty. And that was the first thing, I don't know, that's the first thing I thought was zombies became like kind of like a joke. You know, like vampires, you know, sparkly vampire shit.
Yeah, bullshit on that. I got it. You know. Gotta say, fuck that shit.
Exactly. So zombies are starting to get, you know, cheesy. You know, I love The Walking Dead, but, you know, they're never in danger. I mean, the way you watch, it's a TV show, so you never, okay, somebody, one or two minor people would die. You wish the little fucking brat Carl would die. I mean, you know, stuff like that. But nobody's really in danger. And I just said, how do you up this to make it scarier? And even though I don't really, I think I talked about this, I had an interview recently where people were pissed because they've read it, and some of these are bad reviews, and I've only gotten a couple. I've been very lucky. But, you know, the review was, it's not extreme enough. He only talks about the zombies raping, and there's no rape scene.
yeah, it's
you know, and I'm like, oh, sorry, I didn't do 7 pages of a, you know, guy ripping, anally ripping you apart. I mean, come on. And then there's the other bad review I've gotten where they said they gave it a 1-star review because of just the hint that the zombies will rape you.
Jesus.
That was the 1-star review. I read the whole book, and while I love the character, I just couldn't get past this part of it, and that's not zombies, and that's not a Romero zombie, and blah, blah, blah.
Some shit, fucker.
Yeah, tough shit. Don't read the fucking shit.
It's like, okay,
shit.
You know, I try something different, you're gonna nail me on it, you know, whatever. But to me, that was a good review, because somebody who read it would go, okay, cool, so they're talking about the rape stuff, but there's no, you know, rape. And I've actually had a lot of, which I was afraid of, I thought it was all going to be dudes reading my, you know, zombie stories.
Yeah.
But it's actually been probably half and half of men or women that have read my stuff so far. And most of the women respond to it pretty cool. You know, and they like, because they like that they can relate to the character. And that, you know, Darlene's not too girly that the guys reading it can't relate to the character. So it actually worked out pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely, I was going to ask you, is the litmus test, how the chicks reacted to the Darlene character. And if you're getting a positive review, man, I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, I get a lot of retweets for Twitter. I know anytime I put out anything with Dying Days or Darlene or any of that stuff, I can count on about 10 or 15 of them that will immediately, women that will immediately retweet anything I put out about it, which is cool, you know. I had an interview run today on a blog, and a girl, right before I got on with you, befriended me, and she said, I read your interview, I thought you were funny, I like your zombie, you know, I like your take on the zombie stuff, and I bought five of your zombie books.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool.
Well, that's what we're aiming for, right?
You know, hey, thanks, you know, that is awesome, and hopefully you'll like them, and you'll read the rest, and you'll read my non-zombie stuff, too. I mean, that's, to me, that's really cool.
All right, I want to buy more of your shit, right? Now, we both rock the Nooks, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I know I can get the Darlene Bobbitt, the short stories there, but Dying Days 2 is only available on Kindle currently.
It's only on Kindle, but I think it's got 2 more weeks to go.
So that's under KDP right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like that?
I loved it. Damn. When it first started, my January sales through the roof were phenomenal. I almost doubled my sales across the board with it. Loved it. February was a great month for me, too. March was a great month. April was a great... Every month has been great, but I'm noticing I'm getting more sales on the non-KDP-only stuff now. It's starting to level out. And, like, I put my Dying Shortly, Volume 2, which is just two short stories for the next book coming out, just like a little sampler for 99 cents, and I gave it away for free yesterday.
Okay.
And I didn't push it at all. I just kind of mentioned it on Twitter, mentioned on Facebook, and I think I gave away 142 copies, where back in January you can give a, you know, you can give 5,000 or 6,000 copies away of something without even mentioning it. So right. The whole free thing is dead. So as stuff comes off of KDP, I am just I'm taking it off and I'm slowly adding it back onto the Nook and everything. But still, Amazon is literally 96% of my sales right now.
Yeah, you can't argue with the money, that's for sure.
You're not doing it for shits and giggles.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Smashwords is great because I put it on there, and then if I send out review copies and stuff, it makes it easy. But I barely get, you know, a quarterly from them. You know, same with Nook. And now I will sporadically post, especially on Twitter, I'll post a bunch of different ones, like, you know, whatever book is available on Nook, I'll put it out there, and I just don't get the sales for it. You know, I mean, it's like every now and then I'll get it, but most of my sales is Amazon, and I have a Kindle. I love the Kindle.
Right. Well, you can count on 2 more sales at least coming through Smashwords in the near future.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, then it's worth it right there.
There are like about 1.5 to 3 million Nooks out there, so, you know.
Yeah. It's not like a small market.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully I'll get, and hopefully some of that will actually generate to sales. I've actually sold now, which is funny, as I put Dying Days, the first one is actually out in audiobook now.
It's
been out since the first of the month, and I've already sold more audiobooks than I've sold copies of Darlene Bobbitt and Dying Days in the last 4 months on Barnes & Noble.
You're fucking lazy
people. Yeah, fucking lazy fucks. I mean, good for you for selling it. Like, I'm down with you making money, but fuck that audiobook shit.
I was amazed. I was like, and I did it just like, you know, I was going back and forth with Scott Nicholson, and he's done a bunch of his books. And I said, let me do it. And I actually ended up searching for a narrator for it, because I wasn't going to do it. You don't want to hear, you know, Jersey me talking about some chick running around shooting zombies. So I was like, I'll get a female. And I ended up, it was weird, the girl I grew up with across the, that grew up across the street with me that I haven't seen in 20 years actually does narration. And I didn't even know. And she emailed me and told me, hey, I saw your book up, and this is weird, but, you know, send me a sample. And she did an awesome job, and she'll actually probably end up doing all of the Dying Days books now for me.
How many books do you envision Dying Days to be at eventually?
Well, there will be a Dying Days 3 eventually, which will continue, you know, with Darlene as the main character. Coming out probably within the next month or so will be a book called Still Dying, Select Scenes from Dying Days. And it will have some new characters, short stories, and 4 or 5 prequel stories from the characters in Dying Days 2 that were introduced. And that will be coming out soon. There's also going to be 2 more books after that of Dying Days called Dying Days Origins. One of them will star, there's a character you guys haven't read 2 yet. There's a character, another female character, Tasha Shorb is her name. She's like a fiery redhead. But she is like she's kind of like the bitch. She's like the screw everything, I want everything now kind of character. So I had a lot of ideas for her, so I started writing her origin piece, just playing around with it as I was writing Dying Days 2. And I loved it enough that I'm like, I'll eventually just write a novella with her. So there's those 2, and then after Dying Days 3, I have no idea. I don't know where I'm going to go, because honestly, I don't want to just keep pumping them out. There's a couple of writers out there that just keep pumping the same story over and over, and there's nothing new to say.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. I have the ideas for these next, I guess, 4 books spread out over, say, the next year or so. But I don't want to, I just don't want to be a zombie guy.
Yeah.
I never started this to be the zombie guy.
And then you can put them all into, like, one big volume at the end when you're all done. I mean,
exactly.
You know, up to you, of course, obviously, but.
Yeah. Well, and that's the goal. The goal is to have that one big giant story at the end of beginning to end, whatever the end, you know, may
right.
be.
Sell it in pieces and then put it back out in a big binder. We all learned that from Stephen King, didn't we?
Yes.
Exactly.
So do you envision Darlene to be like that hot, like you would like want to like just come on and take a goatee ride, babe. Is she like built up in your mind like to be like that, or is she more of like a, just a regular girl character? I mean, I know you said you envisioned her like a little bit on the chunky side, but you know, you're making the character, so is like in your mind, is she like,
dude,
you're Superwoman?
Have you stroked off to her?
in my mind, I wouldn't kick her out of bed.
Right.
She's probably by the time we actually hit dying days, and then definitely dying days too, she's probably a little bit too skinny for me. I'm a chubby chaser. I love me a big girl, you know, 6 foot tall, 180, 190 pounds. I happily divorced two blondes like that. So I'm definitely into the big girls. I enjoy that ride. So I definitely envision her in the beginning as being more of that, you know, just that, like I said, 28-year-old, kind of chunky. She's good-looking. She doesn't know it, which is good. You know, works behind the counter at the mall, and then all this crap happens to her.
And then she can kick your ass.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're doing this, all this riding and stuff. You're like a full-time guy, right? You got no day job.
No day job since September. September, I got laid off from my job and freaked out. Said, "What the hell am I going to do?" You know, I've done retail for 25 years almost, and then to go and look for another job, it's like, you know, holy shit, nobody's hiring. Nobody's hiring a store manager anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
fuck
hey, come work
anyway.
At Walmart for minimum wage when you know you made $50,000 last year. That kind of crap.
Yeah,
so.
I think not.
Yeah,
I freaked out, and I just said, "Well, let's collect some unemployment. Let's see my options, and you know, screw it. Let me write." So it actually worked out good because from September to December, I finished a lot of projects. I finished some novellas. I really started doing a lot of the Dying Day stuff and the promotion and all that stuff. So when Christmas came, I had a good sample of stuff to sell. I also run Rimfire Books. So we do a ton of anthologies that we were putting out and everything else. So that was good. So, you know, once I hit Christmas, all of a sudden I had like 40 different things that were available for you to buy.
Yeah.
And then we hit January, and it was like, hey, look, I can, you know, pay some bills. And it's to the point now where if I didn't have four kids, I could probably, I got three kids, and my girl's got a son, and they're all teenagers, and they all eat everything in the goddamn house. So if it wasn't for them, I could live and be quite comfortable, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, man.
Yeah, man, that's getting somewhere in, like, that short of amount of time. Were you writing before you got laid off, like, fucking around with it?
Well, I was always writing, and I was always putting stuff out, and I was always... publishing. I started back in 94, 95, back when I was still in Jersey. I used to do a magazine called Black Moon Magazine, and it mixed horror reviews, horror fiction, and heavy metal stuff. And we did that for about 2 years, but, you know, back then there's no real internet, and in order for us to put out a magazine, it was like $10,000 to buy copies and everything. It was me and another guy. So we stopped doing that, but I always loved it. And back in 2005, I'd done a zine called Carnifex back in the mid-90s after Black Moon for a couple issues. So I started up, and I was doing fantasy and horror anthologies then. But back in 2005, there was no KDP. There was none of this. You had everything was a print book, and that was a big drain of money on me again. So I stopped. And then once we start with all this ebook and all this other stuff about 2 years ago, we started in 2009 is when I put out we started with the anthologies for Rimfire, and that was the Vermin one and then the one Heavy Metal Horror. We put those two out, and that was 2009, and we've been putting them out sporadically since.
Yeah, man, you got a pretty big body of work. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking like, wow, this guy is only since September and he's crashing all this crap out. And you had to have been doing it before then.
I guess
Well, a lot of the stuff wasn't finished. A lot of it was ideas, and it was just you work a retail job as a manager. It's like 60 hours a week, and you come home and you want to either you want to drink yourself to death, or you want to pass out on the living room floor, and you don't want to do anything else.
Yeah,
it was like just mind numbing. So September with that freedom was like, holy shit. I mean, I probably spent the first 4 days looking at fat chick porn before I got bored with that. And I was like, let's do something else. Yeah, let's finish some of these stories. And then boom, it just really just took off. And then I just finished a lot of stuff and put out a bunch of different anthologies. And I got a ton of short stories out there in other anthologies. And that really helped to get my name out there, and then just be myself. You know, that's That's the thing. Somebody had posted about me on Goodreads or something that somebody said, hey, anybody know anything about this guy's books, you know, Armin Rosemilli's books? And somebody had said, oh, he's that heavy metal zombie dude. Yeah, he's really funny. I've read his interviews. He's really funny. I was like, yeah, that's cool, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
If that gets you to buy one of my books, hey, knock yourself out. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, shit, man. If I got to, like, smack somebody upside the head to get someone to listen to the podcast, I'm more than happy to do it, you know?
I mean, exactly. Well, you know, I did a lot of reading. I did a lot of, let me read every blog I could. Let me read Scott Nicholson's book. Let me study Jay Conrad's blog. Let me, you know, take pieces of all these different things. Let me, you know, somebody had said 2 years ago, you know, branding. That's, what the hell is branding? So let me figure out what branding is. Okay, now I know what the Armin Rosemilli brand is, so let me push my brand, you know? And it's working because people are saying zombies, horror, heavy metal, that's my brand. And I'm like, perfect, you know? If that's how I'm known, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's absolutely the way you come across. I think you had actually, the first I'd heard of you, you just kind of hit me up at random on Twitter, and I was like, who the fuck is this shit? But, you know, you had that picture up, the shaved head, the goatee. I mean, it don't get much more metal than that. So, like,
right, exactly. That's, I get a ton of metal kids who will follow me now. Not just because, you know, I got a death metal, which is actually, it's more of a thriller novella, but because of the heavy metal stuff. And I get people all the time. Somebody had just asked me tonight up on Facebook, you know, what are your favorite, what are your favorite death metal bands? What are your favorite thrash bands? And I start throwing bands out there.
Enough.
kid never heard of half of the bands I said, and I'm like, you know, you want to say, dude, you don't know who Overkill is, man. You don't know who, you don't know who freaking Cyclone Temple is. You say you're into thrash music. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to learn, Little Shaver.
And that was what was so freaking cool about growing up in Jersey and the metal and everything, because these guys were there. I mean, I had all these pictures. I wish I still had them. I had pictures of Scott Ian and Charlie Benante crashing on my couch when I lived in Keyport. You know, before they went down to Asbury Park to play a show. I mean, yeah, I just met tons of bands and tons of just really normal, cool people, you know? And all these guys, no matter how much money they had or didn't have, you know, they were just friggin' just normal guys.
Absolutely.
I thought that was, like, always really cool.
Yeah, that's always cool about those guys. It never really got into their head too much. So, now all this, you're doing this whole zombie summer blog tour, and I guess this is sort of a stop on it. How's that all working out for you?
Well, what's cool about it is, Mark Tufo, who writes some really, really solid zombie stuff, I've been a big fan of his, and we kind of went back and forth. We always talked. He had out of nowhere, he had come to me about a month and a half ago and said, because I had done a Dying Days blog tour. I had done like 30 blogs in 30 days. And before that, when I had one of my short story collections, Skulls, came out, I did a Skulls World blog tour for like 15 or 20. And it always helped my sales. And so he saw that, and he says, hey, are you doing anything this summer? Maybe we will do something. And I was like, yeah, because his problem was every year for the summer, his sales seemed to dip, and he was trying to, you know, let me get something, you know, different here. So we started talking, and then I always got to go above and beyond. Nothing can be easy with me. It's got to be this big, grand, friggin' thing. So I said, wait a minute. Why don't we get another couple of people in, and we'll just do like three or four of us? Well, it ended up being six of us. It ended up being me, Mark, Todd Brown, Ian Woodhead, Dave Jeffrey, and John O'Brien. And it was a good match because all six of us all have zombie series out. We don't have just a short story or one book or something. There's actually continuing series for all of us, and we all push those, you know, each of us pushes our individual ones. And I mix it up. You know, there's different guest blogs from certain people, different interviews. There's interviews with three or four of us. There's interviews with all six of us. I just try to mix it up and give everybody an equal shot to get out there. And so far, everybody's excited because, you know, our sales have remained steady, and we've gotten a lot of new fans. Like I said, that woman today bought five of my books, but she had only ever read Mark's stuff before. And just by, you know, listening to my interview, you know, she went out, oh, I love Mark, you know, let me go and buy your stuff now.
I was already familiar with Todd Brown's work, and I've read a bunch of his stuff, and, you know, that sort of, your connection with him solidified me reading you, and now I'm totally into you, so it's definitely working for sure.
Yeah, domino.
Well, it seems to me if you're a fan of zombie stuff, there's a good chance you've read one of us, you know?
Yeah.
There's a good chance that you're going to follow along on the blog because you're familiar and you like one of the six of us, and then it goes from there. And we're getting a lot of that cross, which is awesome. You know, I'm getting a lot of new fans. I'm getting a lot of people who are digging my stuff or, you know, digging Todd's or whatever. I mean, and the best part is we all goof around. I mean, we have our little private little Facebook thing where we're just constantly goofing on each other and ripping on each other and just really having a good time with it. And all the guys are great, and that's the cool part for me because I'm fans of all of them, not only their work, but just of them. You know, John O'Brien and Dave Jeffrey, I didn't know all that well when it came along, but I had read some of their stuff and I knew I liked it. And they're just genuine, you know, normal guys, which is cool. I mean, they really just fit right in. So I thought that was really cool. And I'm hoping after all this stuff is done, maybe we'll do a part two next year or whatever, you know, depending. But I would definitely work with all five of these guys again.
I would think with the internet and, you know, podcasts and blogs the way they are these days, there's a lot more interaction with your fans. And that's got to do nothing but help by being accessible to, you know, anybody who wants to leave you a comment.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's so important, too. I mean, just think of 2 years or 3 years or 5 years. Think of, you know, the MySpace, you know, when we were all on MySpace. And you really didn't, there really wasn't that connection to the people that you read or the musicians or all that. And now with Facebook, I mean, I can talk to Scott Nicholson or Joe McKinney or any of these guys by dropping them an email right now. And within a couple hours, if they're not busy, they'll email me and they're genuine and they'll answer my question. They'll answer my honest question. And that's really cool because these are guys that you look at and say 5 years ago, well, no, these are the guys that are making, these are sitting up in their thrones and their mansions and they don't want to be bothered with by the little people, you know. Yeah. That was always the attitude. But most of these guys are willing to sit and chat with you. Jonathan Mayberry's just, you can have a conversation with the guy on Facebook, even though he's, you know, he's off doing a tour. Or, you know, Jay Conrath made, what did he do, $100,000 in 3 weeks on Amazon? But you can still drop the guy an email and say, hey, I got a question for you about this story or that, and he'll get right back to you. It's, like, really neat.
Yeah, that was John McKinney. He did Eaters of the Flesh?
Joe McKinney, yeah, Apocalypse City, Flesh Eaters.
Yeah, yeah, I read all his crap, yeah. Not crap, but I read all his books.
His stuff,
yeah.
Like I said, once you read his stuff, you don't have to read anything else about cops. To me, that was the kind of guy, his characters were the story.
Right.
The zombies weren't ever the story.
No, it was
for his books. And that to me was, that was the, you know, that was amazing. The first zombie book I ever read, really read, was The Rising by Brian Keene.
Yeah.
And again, it's not the zombies, man. It's just the characters that you get to the end of that book and you're like, what the hell, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's dead. That's it. The planet's over.
Yeah, but I'm like, but it's like just so freaking cool. And it's, you know, and that was, I grew up on Dean Koontz and some of Stephen King, you know, stuff like that when I was a kid. My mother had this huge horror paperback collection. Me and my brother would be punished all the time. So I would be punished. We were punished one time. We were punished from, like, I think I was 12 or something. We were punished for the entire summer. We were not allowed out because we were so friggin' dead. And I would be in my parents' room just reading Dean Koontz books all summer. And I was like, you know, I wanted to be a writer when I was like 12. But then when you grow up and you start reading Brian Keene and, you know, Colin Melick, I mean, guys that are like, holy shit. No. You go, well, this isn't formula. This isn't Dean Koontz typical kind of thing. This is like real people and real situations and, you know, people you really, really care about and stuff. And that, to me, that's what really got me going, that I wanted to write more.
That's exactly how I got into reading, like, adult books, too. I was grounded, and my dad had all, like, adult books. And I would read all his crap because I was always in trouble getting grounded myself. So I can relate to that one. It never made me want to be a writer. I don't have the imagination for it, but damn, that's funny.
Yeah, and to me, that was always, you know, I always laugh, and I always, you know, my brother was in our room, and he got to play, you know, in television and our stupid games and stuff, and I was in the other room just reading all the time, and I always laugh, and I say, if you had been trapped in that room, you'd be the writer now, and might be the total slacker.
Are you saying a brother's a total slacker? Yeah?
Oh, my brother. Yeah.
He's a professional gamer.
Well, listen, my brother's, I always say my brother, if I wrote him as a character, nobody would believe him. This is that he's a year and a half younger than me. This is the kid who steps in shit no matter what. Never had a good job in his life, but never needed money. I've never done a drug in my life, ever. And he always laughs and says, well, I've done them all for both of us, so don't worry about it. you know, drunk most of the time, in a great mood all the time, just, you know, barely wears shoes. Right now he's married to a chick who is worth like $5 million. Just, you know, living the life.
A kept man.
And me, I'm sitting here worrying about, you know, shit, how are we going to pay the electric bill, you know? And he laughs about it, you know, and he's like, oh, whatever. He's like, yeah, we might move to Key West this year. Whatever, you know. I'm like, eh, good for you.
Well, you know, if you keep going the way you're going, I don't think you're going to have to worry about the electric bill too much longer.
Well, I hope.
We hope too, man. Listen, it's been awesome having you on.
Definitely.
And we'll pimp the shit out of your stuff for sure. You got no worries there.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that. I really really do. Every time I meet somebody who says, you know, they like my stuff, it's humbling, because when you're sitting there writing it, you don't ever write to a crowd or to a reaction. You just write what you think is the best story, and then when I'm done with it, I'm like, oh my god, this is, every time, like, oh my god, this is shit. I don't even want to put this out. And then, you know, I get the different beta readers do it, then I get the editing and I get everything else done, and once that book is done, I'm like, it's still shit, but I'm going to put it out anyway. And then to hear someone say, I like your stuff, or I just bought 5 of your books, I mean, to me, that is just awesome.
Absolutely.
All right, so thanks for coming on, Armand. And, you know, anytime you put anything out new, we're going to be sure to talk about it, pimp it up for you. And even if you put out crap, we'll call you on it.
Yeah. And
you know, and that's what that's be the best thing. When I start to put out the crap, start calling me. Hopefully when I'm putting out the crap, though, I'm a multimillionaire and I don't give two shits what you say.
Yeah, then you'll be like Stephen King. I could just crank out Diary of the Mouth. And
then say whatever you want to say about me.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Armand Rosamilia.
All right. That was Armand Rosamilia.
Yeah, man. Very cool. Very cool writer. Very cool dude.
And you could reach him at Armand Rosamilia, rosamilia.com.
That's it.
And he's at Armand Author on Twitter,
right?
And he's also on Facebook.
Absolutely on Facebook. And you can also look on Facebook for the Summer Zombie Blog Tour page also, and follow him and all the other writers on the tour.
And you could also get his books on, well, obviously on Amazon.
Amazon, Smashwords, and BarnesandNoble.com.
So check him out. He's good.
Very reasonably priced stuff, $2.99 for, you know, The Dying Days and the follow-up. 99 cents for the Darlene Bobich stories. He's, you know, pick him up. It's absolutely worth every single penny and then some.
Plus, like, it's a much better value for him for the consumer on ebook.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, even his print book, like Dying Days 2, is $7.99 in print.
Yeah, that's...
You can't go wrong.
That's typical paperback.
Yeah.
So, there you go. There you have it. Hope you enjoyed our first interview.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Totally cool.
All right. Well, Frank, you know what time it is.
It's time to scream Spanish.
Yay!
Oh, Señor Jesús, I un enciendo.
No, es Petino Carake Nariza.
Oh, Señor Jesús, I un incendio.
No, es tiempo para que nadisa.
Oh, Señor Jesús, hay un incendio.
No, es tiempo para que nadisa.
I thought it was a barbecue.
Arriba.
Arriba. That can only mean one thing, sir.
It is time to sample and review our beer.
Oh, it's beer time, folks.
It's beer time on the... It's the beer section of Books, Beer, and Bullshit.
Yes, sir. What kind of cold suds do we have?
We have Rogue Chipotle Ale.
Ooh, Chipotle Ale.
It's ale brewed with chipotle peppers.
Oh, it's going to get spicy up in here.
I'm spicy.
Wow, Rogue is kind of a one of those craft brews.
Craft brews, yes. I've been around since 1988, and they're from, where the hell are these assholes from? Oregon? Are they from Oregon?
Yeah, look at this. Newport, Oregon.
Yeah, from Newport, Oregon.
I thought they were East Coast. They are.
No, they're not. I just wanted to say full disclosure.
Yeah.
I truly enjoyed the Sig Hansen Northwestern Ale, which is brewed by Rogue. Fuck it. I know we're going to hate this.
Okay, this is my first foray into Rogue. As much as I've eyed them up on the shelves, I've never had it, so I'm eager to get my taste buds wet.
I don't think they do, like, any, like, regular beer. I think it's all nonsense.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, there's no, like, I don't think there's any kind of straight-up things. There's all kind of weird.
Yeah, it's just all weird shit. And,
yeah, and homages, I mean, to,
yeah, sort of. The regular beer is covered in Sig Hansen and stuff like that. It's regular beer, but we'll put some celebrity on it, you buy it.
They gotta craft it.
They gotta craft it somehow. They're crafty people.
There's a craft beer. So, right. Let's break into some Rogue Chipotle.
A little pouring music, please.
Here you go. Jeffrey's opening up the big old pint of the Rogue. He's taking a snifter. What do you smell, man? You're really sucking it up. It must not be burning.
smells like beer, but like my nose is like actually heated up a little bit.
Oh yeah, you got a little flecky flex. That's really up there. We're gonna get some boogers with our with our beer this week.
Well, I gotta say, as we
give it a pour, watch the head.
Yeah, it looks like an ale, that amber color that you expect.
Yeah, oh, here you go. Very good, very good.
And the long pour. This beer does not give you much head.
Okay. Let me get a snifter of it myself here. Okay. I'm not picking up too much spiciness. Let's give it the old suckaroo. Well, it sticks to your tongue, doesn't it? Is it smoky? What is that?
That is bitter beer face.
What the fuck's going on here? Hold on a second. Wow, that's very fucking weird.
Yeah, that's not even like
it sticks to your tongue.
Yeah, it
you can't like love the roof of your mouth.
It's like eating a peanut butter sandwich.
It is. This is a little rough for me because full disclosure, I had the cold and I was just going with a cough drop. I mean, this is taking a cough drop out of my mouth, but I'm still trying to really get my mouth around it. One, let me get some more sippages. I don't get spicy.
No, there's no spicy. It's hoppy.
Well, the chipotle is a smoked jalapeno.
If you say so.
I have a smoky sort of flavor there. I detect.
Yeah, it's not like the charcoal briquette smoke.
No, it's not like that Eskisser stuff. It's not a smoked porter. Oh.
Is it at the bottom?
It's not good. It's smoky in a whole new way. How much did you pay for this abomination, sir?
This abomination was somewhere around the $8.99 price point. I don't even know what to say about this. This is just like, you know, like I could taste the chipotle in like the back of my throat.
Oh, God, you know, you taste and you go, ugh.
You know what it tastes like? It tastes like OE smells.
Well, there ain't no way in hell I would sit around and drink this enjoyably.
No, you're not drinking this to have a good time.
No.
I don't know what you're drinking this for.
Now, this is like an homage to a Spanish painter?
A Spanish author.
An author. Oh. De La Soul is from the soul. Deeper shade of chipotle.
La Ceuba.
Let me see this shit.
From 1575.
Oh, that guy.
That guy.
He looks like an asshole.
You know, this.
Where is he? Dedicated to Spanish author Juan de la Cueva, who in 1575 wrote of a Mexican dish that combines seedless chipotles with ale.
It has bite.
Do you
it has
so?
Bite me written all over it.
You know what? I'm starting to feel a little spiciness creeping.
It's creeping. It's a creeper.
It's back there. It's quiet, but it's there.
It's like a Klingon.
It's like the remnants of an atomic fireball sitting back there, like an hour after you had one.
You know what? This is the beer I'd have before I committed suicide. Simply because drinking it would not.
What type? Would you hang yourself?
right before I jumped off the chair,
would you?
I would have this because that would not make me want to not do it.
To punish the paramedics who come rescue you with your flatulence laying all over the floor underneath you.
Yes.
Have some of this.
His little smoky jalapeno.
Smoky
shit.
Jalapeno crap. We've drank some abominations now.
This is just like an insult.
It's
insulting to me that you would charge that much money for this kind of crap product.
I think the recurring theme here is we keep getting fucked up out of $10 every week.
Every episode, it costs us more for the beer than it does like host the episode. Our biggest expense on this podcast has been beer.
We got to learn from Armand how to fucking market beer digitally.
Yeah.
We don't like smoky beer.
And you know what? If you're going to call yourself a chipotle ale, how about having some fucking chipotle
ale?
Yeah,
I wish it had more nuts in the spice department. That's right. Really what I
You're going to pretend. Don't rip me off and say, oh, we threw a couple chipotles in the 100-gallon...
Just to give it a little bite. No. And I thought, like, all right, we got one now. And it just fucking
fail.
This is the rogue fail ale. That's what we need. We need a full on.
We need a cayenne beer.
Right. When you piss out the beer, you want to scream.
Right. I want it to burn both ways.
Yeah. That's what we need.
You know what I say?
What do you say?
Let's get the hot sauce.
Oh, you want to Tabasco this shit?
What do you think?
I think we got to teach.
I think we got to save the segment.
We got to teach Rogue how to do it. All right. All so right. we got some jalapeno Tabasco sauce.
The green Tabasco.
Some schnot sauce. Let me give it a little extra.
Yes.
For you, sir.
For me, sir. Thank you.
Here you go. Here you go. We went with the jalapeno pepper sauce.
Well, yeah, because it's more. Yeah, to complement the chipotle peppers.
I like hot sauce.
I know you do.
So I'm going to be liberal.
You should. That's the milder jalapeno.
This is one of the few times in my life I'm going to get liberal. Oh, boy.
Better shake it up.
Shake it up. Oh, ooh. Now I smell something.
Something's burning in the kitchen.
Oh, Lord. Jeez, there's a fire.
Oh, Señor Jesus.
I'm haciendo in my cup.
Haciendo in my belly.
Okay. Esto yo, señor.
La cucaracha. La cucaracha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We call this the Rogue Taco Bell Ale.
Taco Fail.
Taco Fail. The Rogue Taco Fail Ale.
I'm
scared. Are you ready?
I'm scared. I smell it a lot.
Oh, Lord help us. All right. You ready? Here we go now. New and improved.
Nope.
Doesn't help.
No. Nope.
Nope. We need more.
More
jalapeno, señor. Please give me a scotch. Oh, yes, sir. Keep going, please. It's not enough, yes, señor Jesus.
Oh, that's about, what, half a bottle?
Easily. Yeah. Okay. Ooh, we're getting green beer now.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, St. Patrick's Day. Oh, Lord Jesus, set on fire.
Fit to be corner, set fire.
Just remember, if you send us an iPad, we'll send you the bottle.
I ran for my life, for fuck's sake.
For fuck's sake,
I thought it was a barbecue. This is a rogue fitty-fitty ale.
50% hot sauce, 50% beer.
Fitty-fitty ale. All right, now it's starting to taste like gum.
This tastes like gum?
It tastes like gum.
I wouldn't know what gum tastes like. So please explain to me how you came up with the taste like gum.
I would have to imagine. It's very salty now. I think we might be getting somewhere now. It's spicy now.
Dude, you know what? It makes no difference to me anymore. This shit just sucks.
We've had... It's now... Yeah.
We've beaten this beer into the dirt.
Well...
Last word.
Yeah.
Rip off. Don't believe the label.
And then, you know what?
Even adding Tabasco to it.
You know what we did? Help. We added jalapeno Tabasco sauce to it.
So you don't have to. And moving right along with our episode.
It's time for the bullshit.
The bullshit section.
Let me tell you something. I'm getting a little annoyed with people, right?
Right.
We want you to come onto Facebook, right?
Right.
We want you to go to facebook.com/books, beer, and bullshit podcast and hit the like button, right?
Yeah, like us up.
It's all about like, right?
Liking
Facebook's
it.
A happy place, right?
The second happiest place on earth.
It's the second happiest place on earth after Leonard Kinsey's bathroom. I'm getting a little annoyed with people. Like, you log on to Facebook and it's, oh, geez, I stubbed my toe and it really fucking hurts, man. And it's starting to turn blue. And I'm feeling woozy. A whole new social network. It's called woeisme.com. And instead of a like button, we're going to have a caterwaul button. Yeah. And you're going to click on it, and then all you people can mule.
Yeah. Go to Bitchbook.
Bitchbook.com. Oh, boy. What else, man? You know what I got?
What do you got?
You know what we did?
What do you got?
Last week, we called it, right? We were talking about Draven Starr and her send me shit wish list.
Right.
And I said, well, we're going to do it, too.
We got one?
We got one.
We have our very own wish list?
We have our wish list, so you people can buy us stuff. All you got to do is go to our main webpage, booksbeerbullshit.podbean.com, and over there on the right side, you'll see it, a little link for get this, the Draven Star Memorial Buy a Shit wish list on Amazon.com. You're going to click on that, and you know what? Just heaps of love. We give this to you for free. We steer you away from bad beer. We steer you towards good books, and maybe we'll give you a little guffaw at the end. So buy us a fucking iPod.
Really?
An iPhone.
That'd be cheap.
A complete podcasting studio. What's the big deal?
Extreme Makeover, podcast style.
There's got to be a rich, like, oil mogul that listened to us, and he's got just nothing better to do with his money than to, like, heap appreciation on us for entertaining him in his otherwise boring life.
His 1 hour of joy every 2 weeks.
Yes. And you know what? While we're in a inventive mood, I think, and whoring and stuff, I got another way for us to whore.
Okay.
All right? We've got to open up an actual store. Right?
Brick and mortar.
Brick and mortar. We're going to open up a brick and mortar store. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to open it up. We're going to call it Books, Beer, and Boutique. And this is, we got to fill it with, like, podcast-related stuff. So, obviously, you're going to walk in, and you're going to see books, and you're going to see beer.
And you're going
to
see...
You're going to have to see some kind of bullshit.
Well, we could get some bullshit. I'm sure we could get some
Here's what
bullshit.
I'm picturing. In the back, we have like 3 toilets, right? No stall, just toilets.
Right.
And every day at like 6 o'clock at night, we're going to have a dump the largest turd contest.
Man, I knew shit had to come up.
Shit has to come up. We missed it last week, didn't we?
Our first episode with no shit last week.
And I was crying for it.
I know.
So
you
now,
missed it. You missed your little
If you missed the shit, you can go down to the Books, Beer, and Boutique, and you can try out to dump the largest turd into one of our turd bowls. And we'll give you like a
free... Is it by length or weight or net weight?
I think it'll be like just...
Like, is there a little scale at the bottom where you take your little...
Maybe we could have levels of prizes.
Turd and... Like kind of like when you go to Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And like if you eat the 1-pounder, you get your picture taken.
Oh yeah.
On the wall.
Yeah.
So if you could take like a 1-pound turd, we'll like take your picture and put it up on the wall and you could be on the bullshit wall of fame.
Yeah. Well, no, what we'll do is we'll keep your turd, we'll dry it out, and we'll put that in a special case with big neon letters over the top that says early human guano.
Nice.
Yeah. It'll be like a little museum. A little museum-y piece.
You know, we should freeze dry it.
You got to keep that in the back of the store, though. Good ventilation.
Well, if you freeze dried it.
And no good beer in our store.
No.
Only shit beer.
Only beer in 40
ounces. And we'll
have
to have a little, like a little taster bar where we brew our own shit.
Right.
And the first thing we got to do is the eel blood beer.
Eel blood and sweat sock.
Sweat sock beer? Fail ale.
We'll call it.
Stink stout. And then, like, we could put, like, little microphones at the bar. And you could sit there. You could do your own little podcast to take home of yourself drinking our shitty beer. And then and you could get it on a little flash drive with your greatest hits, fucking Books, Beer, and Bullshit. And your own commemorative, my own Books, Beer, and Bullshit bad beer review.
That would be great.
Like $100, right?
Yeah. That's an awesome price point. For what we pay for this beer.
Yeah.
I think $100 is like what a deal with a steal.
We might break even after it's all done. It'll be like a little tiny amusement park in a little brick and mortar store.
It's an amusement park. It's an amusement park for your,
you can be
for your soul.
You can amuse yourself by trying to take a giant crap, having it freeze dried and preserved forever in our crap wall of fame at the early human guano. And then you can go over, drink some bad beer, podcast about it. Feel like you're one of us.
Yes.
You know,
you too.
Dude, it's awesome to be us.
I wake up every morning and go, it's fucking awesome to be.
Thank God I'm me.
Part of this. Thank God I'm me. Thank God I'm part of the Books, Beer, and Bullshit 2-man wrecking crew.
We fucking rule, guys.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard that a few times that we need to get cameras.
Yes.
But then it's not a podcast no more. Then it's a vlog.
Well, I'm not talking about doing a vlog. I'm talking about a vlogger. I'm talking about little snippet of us sampling the beers for the facial expression.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a good idea?
That would work. I'll give
and
a
not,
little snippet.
Not put it up on our thing, right? But put it up like on YouTube where you could go and find it on your own.
An accoutrement. You know what? That's a great idea. And right now, on the Draven Star Memorial Buy Us Shit Amazon wish list, I'm going to add a flip cam.
A flip cam?
A flip cam. So we can do this. If you want to see our fucking faces just pucker in disgust as we taste all the beers.
Possibly throw up. You never know. May get lucky.
Then get your ass onto our Draven Star Memorial Buy Us Shit wish list from Amazon.com. And buy us the fucking flip cam. And we'll be more than happy to provide you with said video.
Said video.
Said accoutrement.
A little added flavor you will savor. WhatWasMe.com.
It's fucking going to be hot, man.
My balls are so sweaty.
My balls are sweaty. My butt crack is soaked. And oh, I got jock itch. Oh, fucking hey, I hate my life because I got some jock itch, man. I got to go to the store, get me some ZBT powder.
I hate myself. I hate myself and want to die.
FML?
FML. Oh, man, we need a good crack up here. Why is this shit so hard? I just want to be funny and be done. I just want a little creativity, a little chipotle in my comedy. I'm beyond. I just wish I had
so
the
sick
bitch face account to tell you all about it. So I'm just sick of this fucking
face?
Nonsense. My bitch face.
.com?
I have bitch face.
What the fuck are we talking about?
It's Dream of Conscious Radio. I just want to get on bitch face, man.
Oh, look, there's David Starr. Oh, she looks like a diseased Muppet.
She looks like a diseased Muppet with two-tone hair.
Mr. Kinsey took exception to you in particular, saying that she looks like a dirty dish rig.
Did he?
Yeah, like the podcast guys. Even though I don't totally agree with you, I always think Draven's hot. In other words, please don't call her a dirty looking dish rag.
Imagine going to the bank and there she is behind the counter counting your pennies. Here's a $100 bill.
Here's a $100
bill. Give me 10 rolls a quarter.
Buy me stuff.
I'd be like, yo, man, I have a rad pair of jeans in the car.
I need some rad clothes.
Think you could flash us for a rad pair of jeans?
I've worked with the best. Anthony, three balls. Spicoli.
I took three black giant penises in my ass, and all I got for was this damn rad t-shirt.
I don't want to get time for that.
I'm really tired of revisiting old episodes, but it's just so damn funny.
Oh, you know, this is the fifth anniversary spectacular.
I am so rad. I just want to get on bitch face and ask rad things about my rad life. I wonder what it's like to get paid to take a dick in your ass. Or like one rad pair of jeans for each cock.
It's a rad cock you got there. I sure would like it in my butt.
What is wrong with us? We just go on and on. I think I'll sing a song. Rad clothes and camel toes.
The Doom Doll. She frightens me with her radness.
Her radness knows no bounds.
We think maybe we should end this rad episode. All right. So to wrap up this episode, we had a lot of fun talking with our new pal, new friend of the show. I've always wanted a friend of the show.
Yeah.
Now we have a friend of the show. The first one, the very first one, Armand Rosamilia, zombie writer extraordinaire.
Also non-zombie writer extraordinaire.
And also horror writer extraordinaire. A real workhorse. He's got a complete collection out there. Go out and buy it, man. This stuff is cheap.
And good.
And good. Very good quality.
Two things we like on this thing.
Cheap and good.
He's very rad. Fucking rad.
He's a fucking rad dude.
He's a rad.
Then we followed up Armand with a bit of bad beer, and we had to doctor it up to make it even worse.
Yes.
The Rogue Chipotle Ale was a disaster.
Yes, it was a disaster.
We just got rad with your ass.
What
we need from you now is to go to Facebook. Be a part of the conversation. This is not a one-way fucking street, people.
It's
a two-way street. We got to hear back from you.
Feedback.
That's right, feedback. We want to know how bad we are, how good we are, how whatever we are. We've stepped up our game.
We're open 24/7.
Yeah. We're now on Twitter, @BooksBeerBS.
BooksBeerBS.
On Twitter.
Follow us.
We're on Stitcher. Look us up, Books, Beer, and Bullshit. I'm told we're on iTunes. And you got to, like, when you get to Stitcher and iTunes, subscribe to us. And let's not forget ArmandRosamilia.com to get all his delicious goodies. He's @ArmandAuthor on Twitter, and he's also on Facebook.
And so, he's an accessible dude. Ask him anything.
Totally, 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 totally cool meaty whore like us.
Yes, he'll answer any question, no matter how inane it is.
That's right. We love Armand and we love media whores. All right. Until next time, be rad, motherfuckers.
Be radical. Bitch face.